kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Trying to dampen us and bring us down. But that's why we always look to Christ, the one who has triumphed and overcome in everything. Hallelujah. So this is interesting. The Lord knows how to speak to us when we are weary and when we're down. Now, going back to Isaiah 40 and verse 29, where it says he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increaseth strength. Now, this Hebrew word for power here in what he's talking about is that Hebrew word kuach, and this is an interesting word. But before we open up to this, let's just in Exodus. Exodus 9. Bear with me, if you will, on this, because I've got one hand on the mic and I'm trying to find the scriptures in the Bible. Hallelujah. Exodus 9 and verse 16. Exodus 9. And verse 16, here is this same word that we've just read there. He says, therefore, send now and gather your livestock to all that have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. So he's showing here through the plagues that in the flesh, man is weak, man will die. Man gives in. He gives up. He can no longer confess and believe in the word of God. And God interjects with his power and might in our weakness. And of course, where the plagues are going on here, and God is hailing down thunder and lightning and judging against Pharaoh to release God's people. They are fainting. They are being destroyed because they don't have the faith. They're not trusting in the power and might of God, unlike us. Even though in our flesh we feel as though we are fainting, we are dying, there seems no more left in us. The blessing of our salvation, our redemption, is that God's power is at our disposal. And many times God allows us, as it seems, to go to the end of ourselves where there's nothing left in which to show us his might and power. At times to understand this, and as it, yes, in verse 16 as well, and he says, in every deed for this cause have I raised you up and shown thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. He's showing that to protect and preserve, because he's judging. And sometimes when God is judging a nation, in whatever way he does, he can do it through droughts, he can do it through earthquakes, he can do it through turmoil, through governments or whatever it is. We pick that all up. We pick the depression of it. We hear it with people, the alarm and everything, particularly if they're like floods or earthquakes or whatever it is. And we can be downcast by it. I know at times I can feel very downcast by the news that I hear or certain videos that are sent to me of atrocities or things that are happening. Recently I was sent a video of child sacrificing going on, and there were these images, and it really affected me, where children, the remains of them, left on these altars. It was an utter abomination. And God has to judge this, and we know that God is exposing this, particularly what's going on now in Hollywood. But that affected me. That started to draw me down. And emotions were rising in me. And I found myself crying out, where is our God of mercy and justice to come against this abomination? How long, Lord, will you let this go on? And God possibly have brought me to that place to be able to cry out to him in prayer and intercession. So you see, God uses all of these things in which he will hear. And he does hear us. And sometimes we are affected by these things that we hear and see. But as the title is today, he gives power to the weak. He's ever empowering us by his presence. And as we walk by faith, and it's that Hebrew word ruach, which means that it's to be firm. It means it can be human strength or angelic strength. Animals can have strength, as well as God. He has strength, and he manifests this also. That word gives us the idea of the manifestation of wealth or substance or ability. That's what this word means. This is where God empowers us. He encourages us. He's already strengthened us. But there are many manifestations to the power of God and how he ministers his power to us. We know, of course, it took the dunamis power of God to raise God, Christ that is, from the grave. Because of course there was no power in him when he gave up the ghost. In his flesh he had come to the end. In his flesh he had died. So it had to take the power of God to raise him up as the new son, the new humanity, in glorified flesh. So we have to understand, with God's power, there are many manifestations of his power in which he works on our behalf to help and encourage us. Of course, we are kept by the resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead. We're also kept by that power. There are also manifestations of his power in different trials and testings that we go through, because we're already being kept by God's power, by his word, the very word that he spoke the worlds into being, created man, spoke man into being. So he holds us by that power. But there are also other manifestations of power. Has everyone got sound? Because somebody said they haven't got sound. Can you hear me? Thank you. Praise the Lord. So he gives might to those who have little physical strength. And that strength that he gives us in blessings. So he can give us good health. He can heal us. He can bless us financially. Or he can bless us with good news. Or the blessing of a child, or whatever it is. These are all in which to bless us, to strengthen us, and encourage us. This is why we are to be an encouragement to each other in the house of God. This is why the body of Christ, our fellowship, our gathering together is so vital. Because God is blessing us. And this is to strengthen you and me. God has given each one of us a blessing in which to strengthen and encourage each other. And we need that in this world that we live in. So don't reject, don't push away what God wants to bless you with. That's why the body of Christ and our coming together for fellowship is so vital. Because it gives power to the weak. And we are weak and ineffectual. And never push away a blessing from God. Because those blessings are tailor-made for us. To strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us. That's why he says, forsake not the assembling of the saints together unto him. For that very purpose. And of course, each of us can, with our ministry, help, encourage, in whatever way the Lord leads. So that he gives power to the weak. And there are times we know when God uses our weakness to draw us sometimes to one side. And this can be to go deeper with God. God is going to draw us sometimes in our weakness, and he's going to use that weakness in which he wants to work a deeper relationship out of us. Because you're only going to go as far as the relationship you have with God. And so sometimes he, in our weakness, draws us to one side in that weakness to manifest himself more to us, to get that stronger relationship which we need to go deeper with God. Or he wishes to address areas of sin and unbelief in our life. Because he wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. Because he knows that the enemy is using that to weaken, to buffet you all the time. And sometimes we come to the end of ourselves, and the only way to get that healing and deliverance, he draws us to one side. It's like a spiritual sabbatical. Sometimes these spiritual sabbaticals are needed in our lives because God wants to do deep spiritual surgery work. And that's the only way it can be done. And he does it in our weakness. The Lord has to constantly remind us that we can do nothing without him that glorifies his name. And that takes a time. You don't get that when you're first saved. You think you can do everything in Christ until you realize after a while you can't do anything without him. Now, it's interesting that the Bible tells us that God chooses those who are weak. And let's just remind ourselves again of some of these scriptures. For example, we know this well in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And that's why we get our title, as we do today. He gives power to the weak, because he says quite clearly here that he chooses the weak things of the world. So I've got good news for you and for all of us. He chose you because you're weak. He chose me because I'm weak. Now we can either be offended by that, or that's good news to our ears. praise God, I'm weak, foolish, what the world rejects, for one thing, that God will glorify his name through me. And if you can hold on to that, and always keep that in your mind and heart, then you will always have the right attitude. You will never be offended how God works with us and so on. Because the proud would not like to hear that. Well, how dare you say I'm weak? I've been blessed with intelligence. I've had a good education. I've got good qualifications and so on. So that's not good news to them, you see. Oh, we have to let God be God. He knows exactly. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22? Here we see the apostle expressing how that God calls the ministry in the body of Christ to weakness. And what does he say here in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22? Well, let's take it up from verse 19. This is where the apostle is serving the body of Christ. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I become as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." So the apostle here is clearly revealing he's not bound by the law, he's been freed by the law. And he's using his past experience, of course, you know, being bound under the law and persecuting the church, the Christians and so on. Well, he's now had this wonderful conversion. He has seen the risen Christ, and we see how all over those years God dealt with man, but he dealt with him in such a way that he was not compromising. He's not compromising here. He's simply not going to the Jews and bashing them over the head with grace straight away. He's going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to the Jews, the same as he ministers to Gentiles. He's not bashing them over the head. He slowly introduces that there is a law, and Christ has fulfilled that law, and the royal law is you love one another, you love your enemies. That doesn't come easy to Gentiles, but he's saying he doesn't come bashing them overhead with all the word of God straight away. He comes in weakness. He doesn't come in his own strength. The only thing he comes in is his boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ, because that is what keeps us weak, so that the power of God may be manifested through us. And that is what he's learnt. And he realizes in that weakness, God gives power. That power to draw all men unto him. Any converts through your ministry will come through your weakness. Because that is where the power of the gospel is, to draw men unto him. And God is teaching us this. This is something I believe God is teaching FGA at the moment with regard to this. And hold in there, because you are going to see fruit coming from your ministries. But this is it. This is how it works. You see, evangelism today has got it all organized. They know what they're going to say. They've got their pamphlets printed and so on. You see, little comes from that. The apostle is showing here how he serves all people, how he serves the body of Christ. It's himself getting out of the way. He realizes it's in his weakness that he's made strong. I have found that times when I minister to you all and I'm weak, or I've had trial and testing, or I feel I've got nothing more to say, it's in those weaknesses that God just takes over. And that's why it's just amazing. Sometimes I listen to the recordings and I listen and I think, how did that happen? How did God do that? There was nothing in me that evening when I was preaching. I was at the end of myself, but did it. And this is what makes our walk supernatural. And you are going to experience this. You're going to experience when your enemies really treat you badly. They insult you, or lie about you, or reject you, and you find there's still that love for that person, or whatever it is. And we've surely been trying, haven't we, with our families, our children, or whatever it would be. We've all been pushed to the test on that. But it's in that weakness, that love, that agape love is there, manifests. And you're able to use that to pray for them, to pray for your enemies, that God will have mercy on them. Many of those you will see in glory, when we're in glory, they will come up to you and say, thank you for praying that for me. Had you not prayed that prayer, I would not be here in heaven. That is why there's going to be such great rejoicing when we get to heaven, because we're going to hear those great testimonies coming out. And you'll say to yourself, well, I thought there was nothing there. I mean, you know, I just prayed that prayer, or it wasn't easy. God had to do a work in me to pray that prayer, to pray it from the heart. And they will praise and thank God, and they'll thank you also. That was God working through weakness. This is why I say, don't ever give up. Don't give up in this walk. Just stay with it and you watch. God will work. This is why I say so much. Endurance, staying with this is the key every time. Whatever your needs, whatever you're going through, whatever deliverance, healing is needed in your life, keep coming, keep listening, because it's in that weakness God's power will be manifested. We proved it, we know it, and that's why we still keep coming, by the grace and mercy of God. What does 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10 tell us? 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So there you are. That's how the apostle continued to minister. And he bore the marks in his body. No other minister has borne the marks like he has, under the new covenant, because he had seen the power lies in weakness. You see, God has a way, doesn't he, of weakening man. And man, with his, all his wicked ways, plottings and schemings and devices, We even see it in the world today. But God will only let it go for so long, and then he intervenes and he allows weakness to come. But because they're not in Christ, they go under. And that is the difference. But all those that are in Jesus Christ will not go under, even though it outwardly looks and feels as though you are. And that is the big difference. But God has a way, and he will have a way of weakening Satan, who at present is still the god of this world. He's weakening him. He's dividing his kingdom. And that is where you come in. That is where the church comes in. That is where your warfare and intercession, because every time you get into warfare and intercession, you are dividing his kingdom. You are weakening him. And that's why he tries to fight and stop us going into warfare. What does it say in Revelation 12 and verse 12? Revelation 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. That's right in the chapter and the context of overcomers, the man-child, who finally overcome him. And he goes forth with great wrath. What's going on there? His kingdom is being divided, weakened. Now, keep that in mind, because that will tell you why he tries to attack like he does, and why he tries to put us down, or try to make us feel depressed, or it's hopeless, nothing happening, and so on. You know those thoughts that we battle with, all of us? Well, why is he doing all of that? Because we are dividing his kingdom. This very meeting, our very presence together under God's blessing and anointing, this is weakening his kingdom. And we know, because he tries to attack. He was trying to attack us today, wasn't he? He didn't want this message to go out. But I knew God had given it to me. So I knew somehow this message had got to get out because God had given it to me. There's where your faith is. That's where you hold on. You see, he gives himself away. And that's why in weakness, God is making us strong. And this is why he brings us back to the cross, because it's there where our strength lies. So are you feeling weak? Are you feeling ineffectual? Then rejoice, because you are at your strongest. And the apostle came to that place where he depended on his weakness for that strength. He wasn't looking to feel good or to feel anointed, or to feel as though he's in faith. He wasn't relying on any of those things, as I keep telling you. No, as he looked to the cross, that reminded him of his weakness, that in that God would make him strong and bold. And that will get from our heads to our hearts. And we're going to start to praise God for these trials and tests that we go through. Hallelujah. So there we are. So our battles are won out of weakness. And let us turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and 33 and 34. Hebrews 11, 33 and 34. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. There we are. That is how they even overcame in the Old Testament. This is what God was doing with Israel. He was trying to bring them to the end of themselves to reveal his power. And now he does this with us through the cross that we take up daily and follow. And that is why we're going to come to that place to count it all joy when we go through trial and tribulation. Because it's in that weakness the power of God is going to be manifested in my life for whatever he wants to do. So we can bring our weaknesses on ourselves that is not of God. And those weaknesses that we bring on ourselves is called unbelief, when we don't believe. And that's why he wants to keep us in doubt and unbelief, because then that's a weakness you're bringing on yourself. And the only way you get delivered from that is the mercy of God interjecting. Can you see the difference? So when we doubt, we're bringing that weakness on ourselves, and you don't want that weakness. That is not the weakness that will reveal the power of God. On the contrary, you deal with that. And that's why the word of God, the anointing, deals with sin, unbelief. That's why we keep coming, so that we don't fall subject to that. And we know by seeking man, the arm of the flesh, that will bring weakness. And you don't need that weakness when God has given us his word and his promises. And his word, his promises, are going to be manifested through us when it's his power and not ours. And that is the difference. And so when God weakens us, his grace is always sufficient, because there is a purpose and a reason for it. That's why when the apostle sought the Lord three times, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." He was showing, continue in those weaknesses, because that is where I'm going to make you strong. And he does the same with us. And we seek God, and nothing happens, nothing changes, and God comes back and says, "My grace is sufficient. I'm sustaining, keeping you in this weakness for a purpose and a reason." So when God weakens, you will always know the grace of God is always there. It's not only grace, but it's mercy. And as we come to a close with this, why the emphasis on all of this? What is the purpose of all of this? It doesn't make sense to me, you're saying. I don't understand why our boasting has to be in the cross, why it has to be in weakness, and so on. Well, hold this one in mind. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 42 and verse 8. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. And this is why. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." And that is why. That is what the deeper life is all about. It is for God's glory. He is not going to share any of his power, his glory, with any carved images or man or anything. And that is why he does what he does with us. So think on that. In weakness, or when you feel you come to the end of yourself, there's nothing left in you, or whatever it is, just hear yourself saying, this is for God's glory, and settle it. Leave it there, because God is going to glorify his name through his church and through each one of us individually, and he knows how to do it. We have to let God be God. Here we're dealing with the sovereignty of God. No, it doesn't make any sense in our flesh, in the natural. But God knows what he's doing. And finally, let's turn to Matthew 26, verses 40 to 41. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so God knows how to deal with the flesh, because the flesh can be such a hindrance. But he shows the key to being spiritual and keeping awake in prayer. And prayer is paramount to our walk of overcoming. And if you feel tired, pray. If you feel hungry, pray. If you haven't had a good night's sleep, pray. You have to sometimes just defy the flesh, the weaknesses, and just pray. Just get into communication with God, because that is where we learn the power of God. And we all know this one, and so we find even with our prayer life that in weakness we are made strong. And he was trying to show the disciples here a principle. Just pray. I know you feel tired. I know what it's like sometimes to pray or be in a prayer meeting and, oh gosh, you're battling tiredness. That you just defy it. Sometimes I have to physically just get up and walk around the room or whatever it would be, because the flesh is trying to take over, and we know the enemy tries to use it. But we're learning, you see, to defy what tries to hinder us. But how's this all achieved? It's through weakness we're made strong. And if it's your heart's desire to pray without ceasing, to be in communion with God, even when you're driving the car or walking down the street or whatever it is, God will work that. And this is what he wanted to teach the disciples and Peter. And we all know what happened as a result, because they didn't pray. That hour he asked them to, they fell into temptation. But you see, God's teaching them something all the time, like he's teaching us. And we do fall, we do make mistakes. But God, in his mercy and grace, he has a way of bringing us up again, encouraging us and showing us. Sometimes he shows us where we've made mistakes so that we can get it right. That's the mercy and love of God, is it not? But we have to keep awake, and that doesn't just include prayer, but when we hear the word of God, we must be diligent about it, diligent about our daily walk with God. When we wake up, this is the day I walk with God. And God will make you diligent. He'll keep you awake. He'll keep you discerning. He'll use you. You'll be ready at any time, any moment, and so on. That's what it means to walk with Almighty God. But you walk with Him in weakness. And sometimes we're weak, we're down, we're weary, we've had a bad week, or we've been off color, but He says He gives power to the weak. And the Apostle Paul, he saw that for his ministry. And that, I believe, is what God is revealing to FGA and all those who hear this teaching around the world. Praise God.
Let him in constancy follow.